You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Good morning, friend. Welcome into the Mike Allen Show here on this Friday, March 10th. My pleasure to be with you. Our second Friday during the Lenten season. So no meat today. Put down that bacon biscuit. Though I have it, at least on pretty strong rumors, that our local bishop and a number of bishops nationwide are going to lift the Friday abstinence next Friday for St. Paddy's Day, which falls on a Lenten Friday, which I think is pretty standard operating procedure. We actually get into that topic with my guest here in just a little bit, Tony Reale. Tony Reale, an American sports personality. He has an ESPN, if you've ever watched the show Around the Horn, in which it's sort of a contest among professional talkers, journalists, sports reporters, all the rest. And Tony Reale is the host. And he gives them points for their comments or hits the mute button on them if they go too far astray. It's kind of a fun show. Tony Reale's been doing it for a number of years now. He also used to be Stat Boy on Pardon the Interruption with Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser, if you've ever seen that program. He's probably made quite a name for himself in Catholic circles for the fact that for the last 16 years on Ash Wednesday, whenever he's hosted the show or been on television, he's left his ashes in place. He is a cradle Catholic himself. He'll talk a little bit more about that in the conversation I was able to have with him yesterday. Got to know him just a little bit through our conversation. He is a lot of fun, great guy, a lot of energy, of course, as you've probably picked up on if you've ever seen him. And we'll talk some about a column he wrote in the Washington Post about why he was giving up silence for Lent. In other words, he is going to talk about why he wears his ashes, and I think you'll enjoy that conversation. So that's coming up in just a little bit. It is a Friday, of course, and I'd like to pray the Anima Christi on Fridays, particularly during Lent, reflection on our suffering Lord. Please pray for a friend of mine, Cindy, who's very gravely ill, and any other concern that you have and you want to lift up. We'll pray together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Separated from thee, let me never be. From the malignant enemy, defend me. In the hour of my death, call me, and bid me come to thee, that with thy saints I may praise thee forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So my conversation with Tony Reale, host of Around the Horn. He's a native of New Jersey, Catholic educated, was a sportscaster at Fordham in the late 1990s, has been with ESPN since 2000. My conversation with Tony Reale. Hey, Tony, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Mr. Allen.
Absolutely. I noticed from your Wikipedia page, your name is Anthony Joseph.
Oh, watch yourself there. Watch yourself. Wikipedia, you know, the carnival barker of the internet. Sometimes they have things right, sometimes not so much. Let's see what you got for me.
Well, I know Tony Kornheiser used to give you a hard time about it. You're Anthony Joseph Paul Reale. So I looked at that and thought, raised in a Catholic family, you got three saint names. Either your parents thought a lot of you or thought that you needed a lot of prayer. Which is it?
I think it probably started with a lot of prayer. I was a very independent young man, a young toddler. But as I grew a little bit, I became I'm one of five, of course, Mike. You know, a big, nice Italian family from New York.
So I got seven myself.
After a while, it was pretty clear I was going to be maybe the pleaser, I guess is what you call it. The second child is somebody who's kind of a pleaser in the family, and that's kind of who I became.
Well, that's great. I'm secure enough to admit, having you here, you know, from ESPN, I've got a bit of a man crush, not so much on you, but on your job. I mean, as a sports fan, growing up a sports fan, I mean, not only do you talk about sports, which we all do, you get paid for it. Is it as fun as it seems?
Absolutely. Not a day has felt like work in my life, Mike. And I had wanted to do this since I was a 5-year-old boy. I had a a Fisher-Price microphone, and I would stand in front of the TV, and I'd say, "This is Anthony Reale talking about the Yankees." And that was from five. There was never a time in my life where I didn't want to do this. And the interesting about this is, Mike, and you know all about this, because what are we doing now? We're on a podcast, and we're streaming to people in places all across the country, and we're talking to parishes in where you are, but also now wherever anyone else is. I'm doing a job that didn't exist when I was in high school and dreaming about what I wanted to do for a living. But I knew I wanted to have, the type of conversations I have with my friends off camera, on camera, and I get to do that every single day.
Hmm. So walk me back a little bit. Great article that you had just after Ash Wednesday in the Washington Post.
Thank you.
Known on Google as the guy with the ashes on his forehead. Walk back 16 years. You were working, I guess, at the time with, pardon the interruption, working there at ESPN. You had the ashes on your forehead. You had to make a decision that first time that you were going to leave the ashes on. Are you able to recall that?
Yes, yeah. I kind of remember it pretty vividly because I was one of two Catholics in the office, I think, in a greater, not a large office, but a very diverse office, I'd say, faith-wise. But, I made a decision early on, and this is probably closer to who I am as a person than just an active decision I made. It was probably more just in the subconscious. When I work, much like you or much like anybody at their job, I think I want to be who I am as a person 100% of the time. It's difficult when you're, I guess, in an industry that asks you to be a performer as well, and I've been thinking about this quite a bit lately. I think when you are someone who has to perform as well for the red light or on stage or in front of a camera in some way, sometimes you process yourself, you think of yourself as other people think of you. You're almost the object of the sentence instead of the subject of the sentence is what you should be. You should be thinking of yourself as who you are. And quite often it manifests itself as you considering how other people are going to see you. I don't know if at the young age of 22 or 23 when I first appeared on TV with an ash, I was thinking about it that way. I was thinking about I want to be 1-to-1 ratio who I am at home with my friends. I've gone to church every Sunday since as long as I remember. And I went to a Catholic high school, the Christian Brothers Academy, which was in New Jersey. And I went to Fordham University, which is a wonderful Jesuit college in New York City. And I wanted to be the person I always was. I wore an ash every Wednesday. I was going to do it again on TV. I was fortunate enough, I think, to work in an office, while it was, I said, diverse in faith, it was also one that was very, very inclusive. And maybe not everyone has that opportunity. But I will say there is, a little bit of a leap of faith, I think,
sure,
that I wasn't really prepared for when I first wore it on TV, because I grew up kind of in a situation where, I knew a lot of Catholics. I was one of many, especially when I was in my high school and college. That was what we were, the majority at least. And I wasn't really expecting to get as much feedback as I did. That was probably naivete on my part.
Absolutely. And so most of the feedback that you got, was it mainly, from fans? Was it from your coworkers and colleagues?
Initially, it was, I guess it was from viewers of the show. And again, maybe naivete on my part, but I don't know if I was shying away from having a conversation about it afterwards. I was just expecting it would be, seen and considered by people and realized what that was, acknowledged and moved on. And I think I got a lot of, I wouldn't call it negative. I mean, I think it's been portrayed, maybe. I've done some interviews in the last 15 years, and there's questioning. And sometimes those questions on the greater internet come off, maybe to some people, callous, because you're in such a wide open ocean of conversation on the internet, let's say. But it's just like, dude, what's that smudge on your head? I don't take particular offense to that. I can recognize where that's coming from, but maybe my grandmother did. Maybe my priest did. So I'm not maybe the best judge of that. I kind of have the ability to have water on a duck's back, I guess, in some ways. So there was a lot of questions, and maybe at times, it became something that was a little bit more pointed with a little bit more teeth. Through the years, I became more comfortable addressing it. But I never wanted to address it on the show. I wanted it to be who I was, because on that particular day, it's who I was. On any other day, Mike, you may know this if you watch the show for a long while, I wore a lot of oil and grease in my hair. So one day it's ash in the forehead, 364 days there's a lot of grease in the hair for hair gel, because that was the particular style of man of my inclined like. So in the end, I didn't think it was important to say we're going to start the show with my ash and then we're going to move to LeBron James. I've never wanted to do that. But I did recognize after a while it was a very public display. And I think on my article, Mike, I kind of suggested. I have struggled with that a little bit, you know? I mean,
sure.
This year's reading, and I was in the pew. I was rolling in the pew laughing when I heard the first words of the gospel be like, you know, be careful for one who practices, you know, their acts of piety for public purposes, you know? And I'm just wondering, you know, and I've talked to a couple of the priests I've been close to in my life about this. Is the ash that? Is the ash an act of almost, you know, a public display for selfish reasons? The answer, you know, is of course not. I mean, it's a show of dependency upon God, and it's an admission of your own sin, and anyone who's seeing that as a public display of selfishness or praise seeking is really looking to be offended is kind of how I've heard it from my friends who are priests. But I do recognize that, you know, and especially after writing that article, after hearing a lot of the feedback, some people weren't able to get past that, and I think that's a shame, really.
Yeah, unfortunately, I made a foray into the com box after your article, and always a dangerous place to go.
We'll be back with more in my conversation with Tony Reality here on the other side of the break, here on the Mike Allen Show. Again, you want to know what we're about here at Breadbox Media, go download the app, change the world, breadboxmedia.com. This is the Mike Allen Show.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
15 minutes past the hour. You're back on the Mike Allen Show here on this Friday, March 10th, second Friday of Lent. Have no fear. Lots of good fish sandwiches out there, I'm sure, today. We'll pick back up here in just a minute my conversation with Tony Reale about his faith, about why he wears his ashes, giving up silence for Lent, and all that. He's the host of Around the Horn on ESPN. Asking a question of the day related to that, who is your favorite personality on ESPN, and who is your least favorite personality on ESPN? Hopefully nobody will list Mr. Reale among their least. A couple of comments I've gotten on Facebook. Kevin says his favorite is Dan Le Batard, who has I think he simulcasts his radio show on television as well, though I haven't so much seen that, but have heard him on the radio. Yeah, he's pretty funny. But I kind of go back and forth with Dan Le Batard. Sometimes I love him, and then he starts to irritate me. I have to turn him off for a while. But Kevin also says, runner-up goes to Michelle Beadle and Bomani Jones. Least favorite used to be Skip Bayless, now Stephen A. Smith. Joe also chimes in, Stephen A. Smith. His least favorite favorite probably Seth Greenberg. Alex, our typical producer, who, by the way, living the dream, going to San Antonio tomorrow night to see his beloved Warriors on the road against the Spurs. That might be a tough night for Alex, but CB doing double duty, his Lenten sacrifice, he's here producing again today. But Alex lists as his favorite Michelle Beadle. She's hilarious, nothing off limits, so forth. Runner-up Jay Billis. And least favorite, Jemele Hill. So interesting choices. If you want to chime in, shoot me an email, mikeallenshow@gmail.com, or you can go on social media, on Facebook or on Twitter, and chime in. We'll continue on my conversation with Tony Reale, host of ESPN's Around the Horn.
I'm here with Tony Reale, the host of Around the Horn on ESPN. We're talking about an article he has in the Washington Post. I've worn ash on my head on ESPN for 16 years. This year was different. One comment you make in the article is that, you know, when you started in this 16 years ago, you were surprised that you didn't see. I mean, there are a lot of people, obviously journalists, I'm sure, who were at least raised Catholic, but to see so few examples, I mean, for you to come up number one on the Google for ashes on the forehead on TV, what do you think that is?
Yeah, you know what? I don't regret putting that in there. That was something a lot of people attached to because I maybe included it in the first couple of graphs. I thought it was important to acknowledge what it was because I think a lot of people attached, or some people who wanted to see it a certain way, attached it to me saying, I'm the only one who does it, you know, look at me. And that was, of course, the exact opposite. I was trying to say there that it is, while there are however many million Catholics in this country and potentially, you know, in places of public work or display, you don't see it too much. I remember Chris Cuomo, who's the son of former Governor Mario Cuomo, who's in the media. I remember him wearing it 1 year. A couple guys in the sports industry have reached out to me since. I've seen a couple guys wear it. 1 year, I may have even had a gentleman on my show, Bill Plaschke, wearing it, and he's Catholic, and we've talked quite a bit about it. And sometimes it's just I didn't get to Mass in the morning. I'll get to Mass in the afternoon or the evening. You know, at this point, I think I kind of well, there's an expectation, and I kind of have to show up at that first Mass, which I'm all right with, too. But it is surprising to me. Again, maybe I was in what now we call the bubbles of our country, which I don't think is an accurate description. But, you know, I grew up around it, and I'd always seen people with it. And then you click on TV, and you never see it. And I'm wondering why that's the case. And is it because people don't want to distract from what they're doing, make a statement, or is it because they're just not, you know, doing it? And I don't know if I have an answer to that. But I do know the greater, you know, focus of my piece, I didn't want it to be on, well, let's say this, okay? I don't think wearing an ash, you know, gets negative attention. But I do know now, especially, there is a lot of people who wear different types of ashes, let's say. And their ash is a hijab. Their ash is a yarmulke. Their ash is a rainbow-colored flag. Their ash is any number of things that is part of who they are on one particular day, or it's part of who they are every single day, and it's been a source of exclusion in some ways. And then, Mike, I really want to say, and I think we can expand here because it's tough to write it out, but, I mean, religion for me, and I say this as somebody who is cradle Catholic and very much informed by the work of the Christian Brothers and the Jesuits, I feel fortunate to say that because I feel that is simpatico with how I am as a person. The Jesuits question everything. And I talk about educating yourself and questioning your beliefs and then challenging your beliefs and then repeating that cycle. And that's what I learned at Fordham University from the Jesuits, some of my great teachers, and through some of the Christian brothers. And if I really had to think about it, and I did, this year more than any other year, I think, for me, religion has to be inclusive, and we are practicing our faith every single day, and that's always been the case. But it's very aware to me now that sometimes, and I'm speaking of all faiths now and all religions, it comes with some exclusivity,
sure.
And I'm wondering why that has been the case, and why that continues to kind of be part of some people's value systems here. I am this, someone else is that. This is why we are different. And I don't know why that question doesn't start with, well, how are we the same?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was trying to get to in my piece. My ash is very similar to somebody, our ash is very similar to somebody else's hijab.
Here with Tony Rioli, the host of Around the Horn on ESPN. So I sense what motivates you to give up silence for Lent, as you put it, was to stand with others with the idea of religious freedom in our world, and to be who you are. I mean, that's really a more vibrant understanding of religious freedom, not just privacy of worship, but to be who you are in the public square and to not have to fear.
And tolerance. I mean, I when I read the Bible, when I'm sitting in that pew with Francesca, my two-year-old, who's trying to, you know, she can now put her hands together, Mike, and pray, but she calls it patience. That's what she calls it, not prayer, which is as good a lesson for now at 2.5. But Francesca, and we go to St. Anthony's. How great is that for me? St. Anthony's in Soho, New York. I finally made it to a parish that's got my name written all over it. And it's the church that was in Godfather 2 and in Moonstruck. I got to give them some pub. I didn't make it in the article. But I think, you know, I hear tolerance. That's what I hear in the Bible. So, and this is not just this religion. It's all religions. In their scriptures, I hear tolerance. So I've been talking about this a lot. I gave up silence, and that wasn't a joke. I'm on a show around the horn every day. Mike, I know you said you watch. You know that there's a mute button. How great is that? There's a button that silences people when they're starting to veer out of bounds because their sports debates are getting a little cliche or getting inaccurate because they don't know where they're making their argument. Well, I mean, yesterday, off camera, but I was happy to have this conversation for 10 minutes afterwards, talking to, they won't have a problem telling them this, Jackie McMullen, Bill Plaschke, I think that's who was on the set at that time, and many of the producers. You know, Jackie asked a question, and I want to pose it to you. She's in the greater Boston area. Her husband's Catholic. She is not. But in, I think, the archdiocese out there, St. Patrick's Day is a Friday this year. We all know what St. Patrick's Day is in some great cities in this country, in Boston first and foremost, right? You think of those great Irish Catholics, the people of Boston. And I think the Cardinal has said it's all right to eat meat on Friday. And Jackie was wondering if Lent is, and she didn't say it's all about, but if one of the things Lent is about, at least for somebody who's not part of this religion, is don't eat meat on Friday, why is it something that's so quick to say, you know what, but since we have a fun little holiday and you want to eat corned beef, be my guest. So here's how I answered it, but I'm interested to know how you answered it. I would answer it if Jackie were to say that. And it gets back to my, and I don't want to say interpretation, but basically what I'm hearing when I read our scriptures or when I'm in Mass, or I'm in that pew, and I'm in that one of our great parishes of our country that is really speaking of now in our sermons, our eulogies, talking about the stories of the day at the pulpit, which I think our church can do so well when we seek to do it, when you're talking about whatever's going on in the world. And I know that gets prickly, that gets difficult with politics. But my idea behind it is, you know, I'm giving up silence for Lent. And so much of what we do is giving something up for Lent. But as we evolve and as we educate and re-question our beliefs, why can't Lent be something about doing more? Why give up meat when it could be, let's give meat to our homeless, to our hungry? And I would have loved if the Cardinal, maybe he did, I'd have really read up on this, said, yes, Boston Catholics and people in Massachusetts can eat corned beef on Friday, but instead of giving up meat that day, then you have to give out the meat to the people in our community
that
need food.
You know, as you can see, and we'll pick up with this in the next segment, Tony Reale, who makes a living asking questions, quickly transitioned in that interview to posing me a question, and we'll get into that on the other side of the break here in a little bit, how I give my, quote, Catholic hot take, I guess, on the issue of St. Patrick's Day and falling on a Friday in Lent. But very interesting conversation. One interesting thing there, too, was Tony kept referring to homilies as eulogies. So, maybe... Listen, I've heard some homilies that maybe put me in mind of death, maybe my own. But anyway, no, great. The guy has obvious energy and enthusiasm, loves his faith, and that's a great thing. And as I said, really enjoyed the conversation with him. So we'll pick it back up again. If you want to shoot me an email, or a comment on social media in terms of what is your favorite, who's your favorite ESPN personality, who's your least favorite, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text me that thought. You can post it on Facebook or on Twitter, Mike Allen Show, the handle, or email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. We'll be back with more on the other side of the break. This is the Mike Allen Show. You are listening to Breadbox Media. Go to BreadboxMedia.com. Get the app for your smartphone. You'll always have this radio station in your pocket.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
We're back on the air, bottom of the hour here on the Mike Alice Show on Friday the 10th. We're going to pick back up in just a second my conversation with Tony Reale. Tony, who is the host of Around the Horn on ESPN every day at 5 p.m. Eastern. He is a cradle Catholic, has been on ESPN with ESPN for 16 years. Every Ash Wednesday, he's known for wearing his ashes on the air and recently wrote a Washington Post column about why. So more of my conversation with Tony Reale.
So do I take it you're seeking my Catholic hot take on something?
I'm hoping for your hot take, and I'll tell you this, Mike. I pushed the mute button away. I will not mute you. I may score you at the end of this, but I will not mute you, and this is consider this your FaceTime at the end of your Around the Horn. You just won the show, but what do when you hear the Cardinal of Boston say on Fridays in Lent, or this particular Friday because it's St. Patrick's Day, we could eat meat?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a tradition in the Catholic understanding that there's certain feast days that are solemnities. You know, I think the feast of Saint Joseph, one of your patrons there, on March 19th, has always been, if that falls on a Friday, because it's a solemnity, which is the highest feast in the church. It is a day like a Sunday, so it's a day of resurrection. It's a day of feast, right? So you don't to have a fast on a feast day. There's an incongruity there. So I think the bishop has the authority as the shepherd of that area, particularly in places maybe where St. Patrick's Day takes on even a greater fervor, let's say, and it is almost like a solemnity, to kind of lift that as just a reminder that at the end of the day, even though fasting or abstinence when it comes to meat is a good thing because it deepens our hunger for eternal food, that there are times in the life of the church that we need to remember we're a feasting faith and we're an Easter people ultimately. So, I mean, that would be my take. I'm not a bishop or a theologian, but that would be my best answer. But I love your idea about using it as – I mean, I think Lent – And I hear this a lot, actually, from a lot of bishops and teachers. It's not just about giving something up. It's about, as you said, adding something, deepening our love, deepening our willingness to serve, all those things. So I don't know if I scored any points.
Lent is a moment for giving up, and I acknowledge that. But also sometimes it kind of mirrors a diet you might go on, right?
Exactly. If we forget, and we forget why we do it.
Pounds, But if it becomes something that is almost like just a muscle memory, this is the time of the year I don't eat sweets at night because
exactly
because I and that it, there is I mean you're giving up something that you truly enjoy or something maybe you just do but I would love and this is kind of I guess I've informed this, and this is just – I'm working through stuff here, Mike. That was one of the other things I want to say in my article. I'm in it, and I'm asking these questions. I don't think I have any answers. I think you know what I do for a living. I ask questions for a living. I don't give the answers. as a younger man, I did some outreach. Like I told you, maybe I was in the bubble. Maybe I was in New York and New Jersey. But I did go down to the South, deep South, and worked at some Catholic camps in Mississippi, Amory, Mississippi, and which is not so far from Oxford and Starkville, kind of in between the two universities there, where I worked with the Catholic kids of Mississippi and Alabama and even some from Louisiana in districts and, dioceses that were, of course, not so large as far as I was concerned, from where I came from, because they were in an area of many faiths and Catholics were quite the minority, and seeing what that was like down there. And then also going to a church in Washington, D.C., which was a city that I lived in for years, but it was a different city for me, a southern city, and finding a church that was St. Augustine's, which was so charismatic, I think is how I would describe it. I know that's a word in the church. I have a cousin who's a sister, which is to say a nun, but I believe more technically she's a sister. So my cousin's a sister. My sister is her cousin. Does that make sense? Yeah,
oh,
that
yes.
Does make sense. Good. So my cousin's a sister. She's now based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Her greater her group of sisters is in Amarillo, Texas, just outside Amarillo, Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Sister Stella Maris is her name now. And they're charismatic in that they, in their services, they allow their own emotions to take them wherever they may go, whatever volume or however that is. I experienced something that is not that, but I would still say is in the same family as that, in this parish in Washington, D.C., St. Augustine's. If you ever travel to the nation's capital, I think that's something you might want to check out, that 12:30 Mass at St. Augustine's, because the choir sang for the Pope when he was in Washington most recently. And they are incredible. And I think, if I can broadly generalize, it's maybe a choir that many of our Southern Baptist friends grew up with. You know, and just that, it there's drums. I didn't go to a Catholic church that had drums on the set. The altar, I should say, a drum set on near the altar. I hadn't gone to and guitars and everything. And it was very much a today eulogy. Trayvon Martin was shot and killed while I was a member of that parish. And I remember we had dedicated, I don't know how many eulogies in a row, to working through what that was, you know, as people of faith, as people in America. To me, that's where religion really needs to have its feet on the ground today. And there's so many things that are happening today, and you know, we're all seeing the world in a way, but we all have to question if we're seeing it the right way, and we all have to evolve it. And that's what living and breathing means.
Mm.
And I hope everyone has a parish where they feel like that's you know, speaking to them.
We're here with Tony Reale, the host of Around the Horn on ESPN. Let me ask you quick. You probably, I'm sure in the world of journalism and media, you run across a lot of people, especially in the Northeast, who say, well, I was raised Catholic. Or they say, you know, I'm a recovering Catholic. Somehow the faith sunk into you in such a way that you've continued to practice it and to hold mm-hmm. it dear as a lived reality. Can you look back? I mean, was there a moment that your faith kind of became your own as something you mm-hmm. knew that was not just an outward expression, but really was an inward reality?
That's a great question, Mike. That's a very interesting question. That's one of the tougher questions, I think to consider. I'll say this, you know, my wife is not Catholic. She's born in North Africa. Her family on one side is Muslim, on the other side is Southern Baptist. She goes to church with me and the baby on the holidays, you know, Easter and Christmas. I know I get looks from a lot of my friends. I know a lot of our friends, her friends, are surprised when she tells them, yeah, Tony goes to church every Sunday. It does feel like some people of my greater generation, I guess, if I could say that, people grew up in the 70s and 80s. There was kind of a, people say lapsed. I don't really even know what that means. But just, I don't know. I feel like it really made an impression on me in my high school and college years as you're making your starting to make your own decisions in life. I always felt centered whenever I went to Mass, but just going to church on Sundays, I mean, that'd be like thinking watching the Super Bowl on TV means you can, you know, you can play in the game the next year. I mean, religion has to be more than that, you know? It has to be more than just going to the church on Sundays. I got involved in some global outreach groups, where, like I was speaking, going to Mississippi, or I also went to a Native American reservation and did some outreach work with the Mohawk tribe. These things opened up a worldview. I'd say meeting my wife as well and not being somebody who was in a place where, yes, everybody's Catholic around me. That kind of galvanized me. I'm somebody who's comfortable comfortable being contrarian. I don't know if that comes off right, but I don't need to be with everybody else. I'm comfortable, and I think this is the Jesuits going back to challenging beliefs. I think a lot of the Jesuits are very comfortable being Jesuits in the church and happy to be, you know, the people who are maybe just out of the biggest main group. So that doesn't really speak to the faith and the values of it per se. But I did like knowing I'm different. But I recognize. I mean, I'm godfather to four little girls. Because I'm among many of my friends known as the guy who goes to church, the guy who wears ashes, the guy who goes to church. I'm trying to come up with an answer on the fly here to a very good question that I'm going to spend a lot of time thinking about going forward, Mike.
It's a mystery.
I feel comfort, but I also have to say this, you know, and I say this about all religions. I mean, Pope Francis, I wrote this, is letting fresh air into a room right now, which I respect and I like and I appreciate, and I do believe more needs to. I believe all faith systems, you know, need to be aware of the world we're living in today and how, yeah, these are tricky things to say, and I'm still processing them in my head. Like I said, I'm still in the middle of all this. But you know, how we appreciate all people for who they are, and really get to a foundational idea of treating others as we want to be treated, and not allowing for maybe how people saw the world 500, 1,000, 2,000 years ago to be, you know, how we start all of our conversations going forward. And, of course, you know, in our own church, there have been heinous, terrible things, evil things. I mean, I don't want to avoid saying that in every conversation, and I don't want to say that in every conversation you have about the church. Some people demand that, and I understand what that's about. I mean, I think we all have to acknowledge we're people, right? We all have to acknowledge that we're flawed as humans, and a church is still always going to be humans to begin with. But I think where I land with this is if we think about, you know, staying somebody who educates and challenges and questions the beliefs and is willing to evolve, we'll all be better.
We'll pick up in the last segment with the rest of my conversation, just a few minutes left, with Tony Reale, the host of ESPN's Around the Horn, talking about ashes and talking about his faith. We'll get into a little sports in the last few minutes of the interview on the other side of the break. Again, my question of the day, who's your favorite and who's your least favorite ESPN personality? You can post on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Mike Allen Show, the handle, or shoot me an email, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. We'll be back. This is the Mike Allen Show. You're listening to Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
15 minutes past the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show here on this Friday, March 10th, second Friday of Lent. Have no fear. Lots of good fish sandwiches out there, I'm sure, today. We'll pick back up here in just a minute my conversation with Tony Reale about his faith, about why he wears his ashes, giving up silence for Lent and all that. He's the host of Around the Horn on ESPN. Asking a question of the day related to that, who is your favorite personality on ESPN, and who is your least favorite personality on ESPN? Hopefully nobody will list Mr. Reale among their least. A couple of comments I've gotten on Facebook. Kevin says his favorite is Dan Le Batard, who has I think he simulcasts his radio show on television as well, though I haven't so much seen that, but have heard him on the radio. Yeah, he's pretty funny. But I kind of go back and forth with Dan Le Batard. Sometimes I love him, and then he starts to irritate me. I have to turn him off for a while. But Kevin also says runner-up goes to Michelle Beadle and Bomani Jones. Least favorite used to be Skip Bayless. Now, Stephen A. Smith. Joe also chimes in. Stephen A. Smith is least favorite. Favorite probably Seth Greenberg. Alex, our typical producer, who, by the way, living the dream, going to San Antonio tomorrow night to see his beloved Warriors on the road against the Spurs. That might be a tough night for Alex, but CB doing double duty, his Lenten sacrifice, he's here producing again today. But Alex lists as his favorite Michelle Beadle. She's hilarious, nothing off limits, so forth. Runner-up Jay Billis, and least favorite Jemele Hill. So interesting choices. If you want to chime in, shoot me an email, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, or you can go on social media, on Facebook or on Twitter, and chime in. We'll continue on my conversation with Tony Reale, host of ESPN's Around the Horn.
I'm here with Tony Reale, the host of Around the Horn on ESPN. We're talking about an article he has in the Washington Post. I've worn ash on my head on ESPN for 16 years. This year was different. One comment you make in the article is that, you know, when you started in this 16 years ago, you were surprised that you didn't see. I mean, there are a lot of people, obviously, journalists, I'm sure, who were at least raised Catholic, but to see so few examples, I mean, for you to come up number one on the Google for ashes on the forehead on TV. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, you know what? I don't regret putting that in there. That was something a lot of people attached to because I maybe included it in the first couple of graphs. I thought it was important to acknowledge what it was because I think a lot of people attached, or some people who wanted to see it a certain way, attached it to me saying, I'm the only one who does it, you know, look at me. And that was, of course, the exact opposite I was trying to say there that it is, while there are however many million Catholics in this country and potentially, you know, in places of public work or display, you don't see it too much. I remember Chris Cuomo, who's the son of former Governor Mario Cuomo, who's in the media. I remember him wearing it 1 year. A couple guys in the sports industry who have reached out to me since. I've seen a couple guys wear it 1 year. I may have even had a gentleman on my show, Bill Plaschke, wearing it, and he's Catholic, and we've talked quite a bit about it. And sometimes it's just I didn't get to Mass in the morning. I'll get to Mass in the afternoon or the evening. You know, at this point, I think I kind of well, there's an expectation, and I kind of have to show up at that first Mass, which I'm all right with, too. But it is surprising to me. Again, maybe I was in what now we call the bubbles of our country, which I don't think is an accurate description. But, you know, I grew up around it, and I'd always seen people with it. And then you click on TV, and you never see it. And I'm wondering why that's the case. And is it because people don't want to distract from what they're doing, make a statement, or is it because they're just not, you know, doing it? And I don't know if I have an answer to that. But I do know the greater, you know, focus of my piece. I didn't want it to be on, well, let's say this, okay? I don't think wearing an ash, you know, gets negative attention. But I do know now, especially, there is a lot of people who wear different types of ashes, let's say. And their ash is a hijab. Their ash is a yarmulke. Their ash is a rainbow-colored flag. Their ash is any number of things that is part of who they are on one particular day, or it's part of who they are every single day, and it's been a source of exclusion in some ways. And then, Mike, I really want to say, and I think we can expand here because it's tough to write it out, but, I mean, religion for me, and I say this as somebody who is cradle Catholic and very much informed by the work of the Christian Brothers and the Jesuits, I feel fortunate to say that because I feel that is simpatico with how I am as a person. The Jesuits question everything. And I talk about educating yourself and questioning your beliefs and then challenging your beliefs and then repeating that cycle. And that's what I learned at Fordham University from the Jesuits, some of my great teachers, and through some of the Christian brothers. And if I really had to think about it, and I did, this year more than any other year, I think, for me, religion has to be inclusive, and we are practicing our faith every single day, and that's always been the case. But it's very aware to me now that sometimes, and I'm speaking of all faiths now and all religions, it comes with some exclusivity,
sure.
And I'm wondering why that has been the case and why that continues to kind of be part of some people's value systems here. I am this, someone else is that. This is why we are different. And I don't know why that question doesn't start with, well, how are we the same?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was trying to get to in my piece. My ash is very similar to somebody, our ash is very similar to somebody else's hijab.
Here with Tony Rioli, the host of Reality, host of Around the Horn on ESPN. So I sense what motivates you to give up silence for Lent, as you put it, was to stand with others with the idea of religious freedom in our world, mm-hmm. and to be who you are. I mean, that's really a more vibrant understanding of religious freedom, not just privacy of worship, but to be who you are in the public square and to not have to fear.
And tolerance. I mean, I when I read the Bible, when I'm sitting in that pew with Francesca, my two-year-old, who's trying to, you know, she can now put her hands together, Mike, and pray, but she calls it patience. That's what she calls it, not prayer, which is just as good a lesson for now at 2.5. But Francesca, and we go to St. Anthony's. How great is that for me? St. Anthony's in Soho, New York. I finally made it to a parish that's got my name written all over it. And it's the church that was in Godfather 2 and in Moonstruck. I got to give them some pub. I didn't make it in the article. But I think, you know, I hear tolerance. That's what I hear in the Bible. So, and this is not just this religion. It's all religions. In their scriptures, I hear tolerance. So I've been talking about this a lot. I gave up silence, and that wasn't a joke. I'm on a show around the horn every day. Mike, I know you said you watch. You know that there's a mute button. How great is that? There's a button that silences people when they're starting to veer out of bounds because their sports debates are getting a little cliche or getting inaccurate because they don't know where they're making their argument. Well, I mean, yesterday, off camera, but I was happy to have this conversation for 10 minutes afterwards, talking to, they won't have a problem telling them this, Jackie McMullen, Bill Plaschke, I think that's who was on the set at that time, and many of the producers. You know, Jackie asked a question, and I want to pose it to you. She's in the greater Boston area. Her husband's Catholic. She is not. But in, I think, the archdiocese out there, St. Patrick's Day is a Friday this year. We all know what St. Patrick's Day is in some great cities in this country, in Boston first and foremost, right? You think of those great Irish Catholics, the people of Boston. And I think the Cardinal has said it's all right to eat meat on Friday. And Jackie was wondering if Lent is, and she didn't say it's all about, but if one of the things Lent is about, at least for somebody who's not part of this religion, is don't eat meat on Friday, why is it something that's so quick to say, you know what, but since we have a fun little holiday and you want to eat corned beef, be my guest. So here's how I answered it, but I'm interested to know how you answered it. I would answer it if Jackie were to say that. And it gets back to my, and I don't want to say interpretation, but basically what I'm hearing when I read our scriptures or when I'm in Mass, or I'm in that pew, and I'm in that one of our great parishes of our country that is really speaking of now in our sermons, our eulogies, talking about the stories of the day at the pulpit, which I think our church can do so well when we seek to do it, when you're talking about whatever's going on in the world. And I know that gets prickly, that gets difficult with politics. But my idea behind it is, you know, I'm giving up silence for Lent. And so much of what we do is giving something up for Lent. But as we evolve and as we educate and re-question our beliefs, why can't Lent be something about doing more? Why give up meat when it could be, let's give meat to our homeless, to our hungry? And I would have loved if the Cardinal, maybe he did, I'd haven't really read up on this, said, yes, Boston Catholics and people in Massachusetts can eat corned beef on Friday, but instead of giving up meat that day, then you have to give out the meat to the people in our community need food.
You know, as you can see, and we'll pick up with this in the next segment, Tony Reale, who makes a living asking questions, quickly transitioned in that interview to posing me a question, and we'll get into that on the other side of the break here in a little bit, how I give my quote Catholic hot take, I guess, on the issue of St. Patrick's Day and falling on a Friday in Lent. But very interesting conversation. One interesting thing there too was Tony kept referring to homilies as eulogies. So maybe. Listen, I've heard some homilies that maybe put me in mind of death, maybe my own. But anyway, no, great. The guy has obvious energy and enthusiasm, loves his faith, and that's a great thing. And as I said, really enjoyed the conversation with him. So we'll pick it back up again. If you want to shoot me an email, or a comment on social media in terms of what is your favorite, who's your favorite ESPN personality, who's your least favorite, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text me that thought. You can post it on Facebook or on Twitter, Mike Allen Show, the handle, or email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. We'll be back with more on the other side of the break. This is the Mike Allen Show. You are listening to BreadBox Media. Go to BreadBoxMedia.com. Get the app for your smartphone. You'll always have this radio station in your pocket.
Thank you for listening to BreadBox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. BreadBox Media. Get the app, change the world.